podcast audience. I am happy to be speaking with you again today. For those of you who know me, this is Rob Rothman again. For those of you who don't, for your own knowledge, I am a glaucoma specialist currently in practice. I spend about 50% of my time seeing patients as a glaucoma specialist. The remainder of my time I spend running InFocus Capital Partners, which is an ophthalmology-focused venture capital fund, currently about to begin launching Fund 2. I am happy to be speaking with someone today who I became familiar with about a year and a half ago, right at the end of the investment cycle of Fund 1, when we unfortunately had no money left to really invest, and was introduced to this company, and was very excited both as an investor and as a glaucoma specialist. Unfortunately, didn't have any dry powder at that time to make any new investments, and it's great to see that they've moved forward. But today's guest will be Sean O'Neill, who is the Chief Commercialization Officer for VLAs. And Sean, it's great to have you here today. We've had a little bit of an opportunity to speak before the podcast today, and it's really great to have you on the podcast today to update the world regarding both the clinical and commercial status of VLAs.
Yeah, Rob, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Appreciate the interest, as you mentioned, and this opportunity by OIS, and look forward to presenting on December 1st at the OIS meeting in San Diego as well. So yeah, really appreciate the support.
So it's funny, you know, as a host of some of these podcasts, I get the opportunity to speak with lots of different people, and I've spoken to a whole different swath of the ophthalmology business ecosystem. But it's nice to actually get to speak to somebody at a company that I really liked as a potential investment that isn't in my portfolio, but where I have a significantly positive feeling towards. And, you know, once you kind of fall off the bandwagon for raising capital and being able to deploy capital, you kind of lose track with some of your prior contacts, and they come briefly back and forth into your life. And this is one of those opportunities where we're going to sort of rehash the past a little bit, and then you're going to tell us about the future of the company. But it's nice to see some progress, especially because what VLAs is doing is something that may impact my clinical life in the future as well. So it'll be nice to sort of give the audience a little bit of an introduction and then an update as to where you guys are.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah, that's one of the things I love about ophthalmology is the ebb and flow. I've had that experience throughout my career with technologies, either in glaucoma or femtosecond lasers in the cataract space, and they kind of come in and out. What's cool about VLAs is this is these two technologies coming together, femtosecond laser to non-invasively create a trabeculotomy for lowering IOP in adult patients with primary open angle glaucoma. That's our design. That's our goal. So we look forward to it.
So the first order of business is, you know, I've known about the company for, I guess, the last probably 2 years, and I've been pronouncing it VLAs, which, you know, thank you for correcting me. It's a tomato, I guess, thing, but that happens a lot with companies, novel companies with interesting names. But so thank you for, you know, informing me that it's VLAs. Sean, one of the things I like to do is sort of get a little background on you. You know, tell us a little bit about who you are, where you came from, how you ended up at this exciting company, so that the audience kind of gets a sense as to, you know, where you are. There are people who listen to these who want to try and figure out how to become someone like you. And I think it's a good idea for them to sort of hear a little bit about your path.
No, I appreciate it. So I've been fortunate enough to be in ophthalmology, actually, my entire career. I should say eye care, ophthalmology and optometry, my entire career. First 22 years of it was at Alcon, where I had the pleasure of being in different sales and marketing, you know, increasing leadership roles in both the pharma side of the business, the vision care side of the business, and the surgical side of the business. And with that, I launched, I think, 5 different products, which if you think about, you know, a sales and marketing career, the opportunity to launch one product is exciting. And I was fortunate enough to launch several. And that's really what introduced me to glaucoma. I launched the Express Glaucoma Filtration Device, launched CyPass with Alcon, launched Omni with Sight Sciences. But then also back at Alcon, I had the opportunity to launch in the US the LensX laser, which was what introduced me to the femtosecond lasers. And frankly, what introduced me to our co-founder and CEO, Tibor Juhas, and our chief operating officer, Hadi Sras. And those relationships, you know, as you mentioned, the ebb and flow of ophthalmology, those relationships continued at, you know, major conferences and things like that. And then, you know, after 22 years at Alcon, I spent 5 years at Sight Sciences building out that commercial organization and taking that company public. And then when Tibor and Hadi were ready to begin their commercialization process and strategy, they reached out to me to see if I'd be interested in joining BLA. So that was about a year and 2 months ago. So I saw the great opportunity to bring these technologies together and work with people that I know and trust and enjoy working with. And so I thought it'd be a great opportunity to kind of do it again and get an opportunity to bring another fantastic technology to market and commercialize another product that'll help glaucoma patients.
So that's, I was trying to think about where we first met, because when I saw your name, I knew we had met. It was definitely but when you guys launched Express. That's got to be where it is.
Yeah.
That time, because, you know, I was kind of a mid adopter of that. And I think I remember when you got brought in to try and convert me. And, you know, just, I think that's kind of how it happened.
I've been at OCLI a couple times.
So. Yeah, I think I met it. I remember a dinner with Andy Prince. I think we were at that dinner. I think that's kind of
where it was. Exactly.
Because Andy was like, you know, he liked it. And I said, subsequently now, as you know, I try and avoid trabeculectomy is like the plague, but ultimately I think 95% of them get performed with an expression. So good for you. So have you had any unsuccessful products? That's quite a history of launches. I mean, it seems like everything that we've ever used or currently use in glaucoma, you've had your hands on. Does that seem like an accurate statement?
No, I've been fortunate, you know, all of the products that I've worked with have really made a difference for patient care and have really had a nice place in the treatment paradigm specifically for glaucoma. You know, they've all been a little bit different. Express obviously is a filtering, you know, part of the treatment paradigm. CyPass was the first suprachoroidal MIGS device, so a new pathway for, you know, concomitant cataract glaucoma procedure. And then Omni really was bringing canaloplasty into a realm where, you know, it was minimally invasive and really bringing it into that kind of MIGS mindset and focused on, you know, opening up the standalone market and learned a lot about that particular market and the patient mindset in that arena as well. You know, I think what's great is all of them, I think, have been successful, but all of them have also been learnings that I'm excited about, you know, applying as we, you know, bring a technology like BLA's into the market and bring that to glaucoma patients worldwide.
Well, you're either incredibly lucky or incredibly good at what you do. I don't think it really matters. For VLAs, those are both really good things to have as personal qualities. So good for you. But you know, there is, you know, as a investable asset, you know, I think most people will look at the science, technology, whatever it is you're investing in, and obviously the management. So, you know, the fact that you've been involved in 7 or 8 glaucoma therapeutic device launches bodes very well for the future of VLA. So congrats on your you know, prior success. And I think that you're probably going to be very pleased with what happens to VLA. So let's talk about a little bit about the company. So tell me, well, you know, you were doing something else, I imagine. You said it was a little over a year ago where you got approached, and it makes me kind of believe that the company is getting ready for a commercialization plan. So you can go a little bit into the background of VLAs in terms of where it came from and your interest in it, what the technology is, how it works. I think all those things need to be explained.
Absolutely. So VLACE is a privately held venture-backed clinical stage company in Southern California. Really what we're focused on is fueling the practice of non-invasive interventional glaucoma. And we're doing that with the design of a femtosecond laser with high definition imaging. And, you know, the company was co-founded by Tibor Juhas, who was co-inventor of Intralase as well as LensX. And actually, if you look at the foundational leadership team at VLACE, all of us have had some experience with femtosecond lasers and or glaucoma and bringing them to market. And the majority of the engineers actually were part of the teams that brought and really, you know, revolutionized refractive surgery with Intralase and then revolutionized cataract surgery with, or components of the cataract surgery with LensX and bringing femtosecond lasers into that market. So there's a wealth of experience there, and we're really, you know, it's not just, you know, you're kind enough to comment on my experience in glaucoma and lasers, but it's really, you see that, you know, throughout the organization. And I think that's really what's allowing us to bring something unique to the market, but also that builds out the legacy of these technologies in ophthalmology. It's actually an interesting backstory, though, for Tibor specifically. So he was at University of Michigan, actually received his first NIH grant to study femtosecond lasers in ophthalmology as a glaucoma procedure. But back in 1995, there were just aspects of the technology, specifically around the visualization, that made it prohibitive to appropriately approach the iridocorneal angle. So what he and Dr. Ron Kurtz at the time did is then focused just straight down into the cornea, and that's what created Intralase and then transformed into LensX. But he never lost that passion to bring this amazing technology to glaucoma patients. So in 2017, he incorporated VLase and started really focusing on, you know, being able to bring femtosecond lasers and that high definition imaging into a single unit to create a channel or aperture in the trabecular meshwork to lower IOP.
So you're, and again, just for the benefit of the audience, the basic, you know, description is that you're using femtosecond laser to treat glaucoma.
Yes, I would just add on, it's femtosecond laser with high definition imaging. I mean, one of if you either, I mean, you've experienced it as a glaucoma specialist and people who do MIGS, intraoperative gonioscopy has some, you know, visualization challenges. It's worked well, but there, we believe that we can make improvements upon it. So actually what we've done is incorporated this high definition visualization, both from a gonioscopic and an OCT standpoint, really to validate and document the creation of this aperture that we're making with the precision of the femtosecond laser. So it's a combination of these two technologies that have been used broadly in ophthalmology, just not for glaucoma patients. And, you know, again, if I think ASCRS had a study that showed the majority of comprehensive surgeons are not getting into MIGS because of the challenges of visualization. We feel like with the way we visualize the angle, because we use a patient interface to couple the eye to the VLux laser system and get micron level gonio images, that it's much different than what you experience using an intraoperative gonio lens with your non-dominant hand through a microscope and the patient's moving. So we believe we solve a lot of those visualization challenges for the procedure in and of itself.
And just to get a little bit more granular for the audience, so there's a femtosecond laser, you have a high definition optic system, which is obviously, instead of giving you a, you know, detailed image of the lens for fragmentation with the femto, you're going to look in the angle and you're going to use the laser to do what?
You're going to use the laser to create a channel. So create a physical conduit between the anterior chamber and Schlemm's canal to improve the, you know, egress of aqueous humor and ultimately to lower IOP. And that's actually, so the channel itself is right now in the study that we're performing for our randomized controlled trial for FDA clearance, which is a 510K pathway, is 500 microns long and 200 microns high. So it's 500 by 200 channel. So we're making that channel to improve, you know, the outflow of aqueous humor and lower IOP.
So, and again, for the people who are glaucoma savvy who might be listening to this, it's basically you're performing a non-surgical goniotomy. Is that kind of the way I can think of this? Removing a block of trabecular meshwork?
Yeah, the term that was aligned on with AMA through the CPT panel with support by AAO was trabeculotomy versus goniotomy. But yeah, we're making a non-invasive, non-incisional trabeculotomy. That is correct.
That's incredibly cool, by the way.
I've seen it, and it is. I've worked with some cool, you know, technologies, as we've mentioned. This is like the coolest for sure.
Yeah, it's a very cool thing. So let me ask you a couple of mechanical questions just because, and again, you know, it's fascinating to think about some of the advancements that femtosecond laser technology has allowed for ophthalmology. And this is, as far as I know, the first expansion of that technology outside of cataract surgery. So it's exciting to see that there's some movement there. Is this something that is adaptable to current femtosecond lasers, or are you talking about a completely new device from top to bottom?
Yeah, so the sophistication and the optical path that's required for both the imaging as well as the femtosecond laser is unique and different when you're accessing the angle versus when you're just going straight down into the cornea or the lens. So because it does require its own optical path, it cannot just be an adaptation to an existing refractive or flax machine. It could technologically be possible to have two optical paths within the same chassis, but this particular device, you know, we're solely focused on, again, fueling the practice of non-invasive interventional glaucoma. So this device, our Velux laser system, is solely focused on accessing the angle and just performing a glaucoma procedure.
Right. So it's a separate device at the moment. But, you know, since femtosecond laser energy generation is probably the same for both devices, and it's really just an optical and focusing issue, at some point down the road, it would be capable. You would be push a button, have the optics switch around and end up with a new device. That's an engineering issue, I would assume. Okay. So where are you guys? So where are you in the process? Because the technology sounds absolutely fascinating. I mean, to be able to do something, you know, and again, this is completely differentiated, at least in my mind, from something like, you know, laser trabeculoplasty, right? This is not a laser trabeculoplasty procedure. This is a surgical procedure performed non-invasively with a laser.
Correct. And so where we are right now is we just, we're excited to announce right before AAO that we have fully enrolled our RCT, our pivotal trial for FDA clearance. So that is fully enrolled, and we'll be completing those procedures by the end of this month. And then obviously we have our, you know, glaucoma appropriate time points, 6 months, 12 months, and then submitting those data to the FDA for FDA clearance. So that's our pathway in the U.S. We are also in parallels, have submitted for CE mark, and that's in Norway now with the governance committee. So we're anticipating to hear back on our CE mark application likely by the end of this year or early next year, and anticipate having a controlled launch in Europe at some point in 2024.
Okay. So you guys are pretty far along. I don't know if you can disclose this or not, but can you tell the audience what the control arm is in your clinical trial?
Yeah, absolutely. So the randomized controlled trial is 152 patients, 76 receiving what we term the flight treatment, femtosecond laser image guided high precision trabeculotomy with the VLase technology versus SLT. So SLT is our control, and it's a non-inferiority study, but it is powered, and we do have in the protocol to do analysis for statistical significance.
You'll have 12 months of follow-up.
Correct. So this particular protocol, we have 6 month and 12 month endpoints. And then we also have a additional protocol for a prospective view out to 24 months. And that's important, one, because I think it demonstrates our commitment to clinical data, especially for glaucoma. We know glaucoma always likes to have long-term data, but also in lieu of what's happening right now in the U.S. reimbursement world, it's fortuitous that we already have in place an RCT with the protocol to go out to 24 months.
Okay, that's great. I mean, I don't know how much the audience knows about what's going on in the world of ophthalmology, but you know, this sounds like it may escape some of that you know, initial scrutiny of the MIGS world, although you know, maybe we can talk in a minute about, you know, reimbursement strategy for the company. And in view of that, the glaucoma surgical market has become incredibly challenging for patients, at least in the United States, where most, if not all, the minimally invasive glaucoma surgical procedures have basically just become unperformable due to a reimbursement scheme that's currently in place, basically, which will not pay for implants, not pay for surgeon fees, and not pay facilities to allow them to be done. It's total manipulation by payers to control the cost of healthcare and make surgical decision making for ophthalmologists completely under their control. But we'll see if it ever, you know, gets fully that bad, but that's kind of the way it feels. So what are you guys looking at in terms of, you know, how this is going to be positioned and what your thoughts are regarding reimbursement? There's obviously a capital cost associated with being able to perform this. So how do you anticipate that becoming sort of manifest in the real world, assuming you're going to get your approval?
So outside our clinical focus, the reimbursement business model is our next most important priority as an organization. And we are going down a novel, unique pathway. For example, we do have a unique CPT code that was made effective in July 2022, which was granted by AMA with support by AAO. It's 0730T, is trabeculotomy by laser with optical coherence tomography guidance, OCT guidance. So it's a unique code to the FLYHT procedure. And we're also utilizing that, you know, novel pathway to ensure that we have, from a business model standpoint, all the appropriate costs that you were just referring to captured, incorporated, so that the APC assignment is appropriate for this procedure. And just a quick, you know, context. So APC assignments are determined based on two criteria: cost similarity and procedural similarity. And so if you look at that, you know, the majority of the glaucoma procedures right now are in level 2 APC 5942, which, you know, again, you think your canaloplasties, goniotomies, those and the original, you know, iStent codes were all level 2. Those have since moved to, or the iStent combined cataract codes have since moved to level 3. But the other thing is, most people ask us, hey, you know, are you concerned you're going to be in a laser APC? Because of, again, the criteria of cost and procedural similarity, we do not believe the laser APC would be appropriate or likely. And that's because the costs are much different because of the capital investment for a femtosecond laser. And the fact that you have the typical disposable, glaucoma disposable with our device, you have neither of those really for SLT. But also the mechanism of action is much different. You know, SLT does, I don't know, everyone kind of explains it differently. You probably have a different explanation of it too, Rob. But some kind of, you know, chemical mediation that occurs that makes it more, you know, porous or something of that effect. Whereas we create a physical channel. And again, the value of the femtosecond laser is the precision of creating that channel so that you know that you are accessing Schlemm's canal, but also the durability. I mean, one of the values of femtosecond lasers in ophthalmology has always been the lack of collateral damage to adjacent tissues. And we know that the you know, enemy of glaucoma treatment is healing and inflammation. Well, with the femtosecond laser, you don't have that because the pulses are so short and so tight. The spot sizes are so tight that so you don't have that inflammatory response. And we're actually seeing really nice durability of the treatment over time in our original first in human study.
Right. So I think so if you wanted to envision how this works, surgical facility, I mean, technically this could be an office-based procedure if somebody wanted to invest, I guess, you know, because it's not really surgical, but I think you would envision this getting done in an ambulatory surgery center where they purchased the laser and the facility is going to get reimbursed, you know, a certain code, and the surgeon is going to get reimbursed a certain amount of money. I would imagine physician reimbursement will probably end up looking very similar to SLT. Facilities need to get paid more because they have a huge capital cost. But the fact is that you're doing a surgical procedure non-invasively in what, 10 seconds? You know, how long does it take? I mean,
The laser itself is firing for about 30 seconds. Okay. But I think it is important, though. The thing, again, that's unique to the technology is you know, the utilization of the femtosecond laser and the high definition imaging that's being provided. So there is a lot of time and effort and frankly intensity that it'll go on in interpreting the images and you know, validating and documenting the creation of the channel. That's different than what you have in current procedures. So, you know, the intraoperative time for this procedure all in, we're anticipating to be in that 30-minute time frame.
Right.
So we're confident that we'll be able to have economics that are attractive for the facility, the physician, and ultimately the patient as well as a reimbursed product or reimbursed treatment.
I think it's incredible. I think, and you probably see this as much as anybody else. I mean, I see it in evaluations of, you know, the hundreds of companies that we've looked at as a venture fund, but it's as important as anything else is understanding the reimbursement pathway for anything you're going to be investing in. It's unbelievable that there's such great technology out there and so much great science, but you really have to think about what's going to be able to make it to the commercial world. You know, this is an amazing concept because you're taking technology that most ophthalmologists are familiar with now, which is femtosecond laser, anterior segment imaging, which most ophthalmologists are familiar with. You're putting, you know, you're using these familiar settings, this familiar technology, familiar protocols for ASCs who understand all of this, and just utilizing it in a way that creates a completely different indication. It's a great plan from the perspective of, you know, from my perspective as a clinician and as an investor. I think obviously what we'll all need to see is some data, and whether you're comfortable sharing data now or you're going to share it at OIS in San Diego, it doesn't really matter as long as people know that it works. And that it's safe. You know, it sounds to me like you guys have thought of all the major sort of pinch points here, and that you should be able to, you know, get this out into the world.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've always questioned, and I haven't really done a deep dive into the cost of femtosecond lasers, but they seem kind of expensive.
Sophisticated technology typically does have a higher value, right? So the cost of goods is greater. But that's why it's also important that our novel reimbursement approach, right, with this novel pathway, we're confident that we'll be able to capture all of those data. And we're going to work closely with the, you know, first adopters of this technology to make sure that all of those data are captured appropriately and submitted to CMS so that there is a validation of the appropriate, you know, cost involved, and therefore we can assure that it gets the appropriate facility reimbursement. This is my third Category 3 code I think I've launched into, and that initial data collection is so important because it sets the foundation, and if not done appropriately, it becomes an unfortunate, you know, clerical error. It's not actually anything more than that. So it's just math, Rob. Like we can fix it.
I know. It always comes back to math. I hate math.
I know. I was told there'd be no math.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was told. I thought I'd never have to do it again. All I have to do is math. And now physics. I mean, those are the two worst things in the world.
See, I went to liberal arts college. That's the way to go, Rob. It's easy. It's easy.
Well, look, I'm happy to see that you guys have moved this technology forward. It's exciting. I think that you have once again been prescient enough to identify some of the challenges that would occur in the glaucoma surgical management landscape, and it's becoming a huge issue now with what's gone on with minimally invasive glaucoma surgical reimbursement. And I don't really know how that sort of battle ends, but it's not looking good for patients at the moment. And that you guys will have this technology that might provide a real a viable answer to some of this by allowing people to have surgical level results without surgical, you know, sort of management and costs, I think is very exciting.
And I think the other part that's important to recognize is, as you mentioned, you know, there's some constraint now for patient care with some of the recent reimbursement decisions. But what's unfortunate there is I think that the majority of the patient population there is what has been termed as the standalone patient. Because the concomitant, you know, the stents for concomitant cataract surgery and glaucoma surgery are still being covered. But it's the others that are not. And that's where, you know, VLAs, because it's non-incisional and non-invasive, it cannot be done at the time of cataract surgery. So it truly is for that pre or post cataract patient, i.e. the standalone opportunity. And with the non-invasive approach, we feel strongly that the patient acceptance of it will be much greater as well. Because to your point, you're getting a surgical type mechanism of action without going to surgery. So we think it has really has the ability to unlock that, you know, interventional glaucoma mindset for, you know, everyone who is managing glaucoma patients.
Yep, I would agree. Well, listen, it's sort of running out of time. And I just want to, you know, again, thank you for taking the time to be on the podcast today, certainly exposing the audience to the technology that you guys have. And it's great to see that you've progressed all the way through your, you know, pivotal trial. I know that you guys are fully funded through that trial. And I think this will be an incredibly attractive opportunity for strategics to be looking at, especially as they need to reevaluate their current surgical portfolios. I hope that bodes well for you guys. I am looking forward to your presentation at OIS and seeing some data and some specifics. Maybe we'll need to come back at some point when you guys are done with your clinical trial to let the world kind of know how you've done. But again, on behalf of the OIS, you know, podcast audience, thank you again. Congrats to VLAs and Sean, looking forward to hearing about all the positive data that you guys collect over the next 12 months.
Thanks, Rob. Really appreciate it and look forward to seeing you in San Diego.
Great. Thanks, everybody. Looking forward to seeing you at the next OIS podcast.